Indian mining giant Adani is defending a deal by one of its entities to build a port in Myanmar, with a top international human rights lawyer agreeing it's a deal with genocidal generals. Adani says in a statement to PM that the port development will be good for economic development in Myanmar, creating more than 1,100 jobs locally, and it rejects claims that it's unethical. But lawyer Chris Sidoti disagrees. He was one of three members of a UN investigation that recommended the prosecution of top Myanmar military figures for genocide over the 2017 campaign of persecution and expulsion of some 800,000 of the country's mostly Muslim Rohingya people. Chris Sidoti told me Adani is hiding behind a corporate veil to justify the deal and says there are implications for Australia.
The military has two major holding companies in which it undertakes its economic activity. That activity is essentially exploitative activity that rakes in hundreds of millions of dollars for the military itself and for its generals. Adani has done a deal to develop a new port in Yangon. It has leased land under a 50-year lease from one of the two major military holding companies. And so over that period, we'll be pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into the Myanmar military.
And so that company you're referring to is the Myanmar Economic Corporation. Is it clear that that entity is directly associated with the military and that finances that corporation earns, go to military figures?
It's absolutely clear. There is no doubt about that at all. All of the generals are serving or retired military officers. The head of the company is one of the most senior generals in Myanmar. It is the military for all intents and purposes. I was going to say it's working hand in glove with the military, but that's not even close enough. It is the military for all intents and purposes.
The Adani company's statement on this project says in part that the port develop will enable cost-effective, high-volume imports and exports to benefit Myanmar's civil society by contributing economic development and creating more than 1,100 local jobs. Is there an economic case for this?
There is certainly an economic case for investing in Myanmar, but that case is only valid provided that the investment is not channeling money into the hands of the military. Here we have to make a very clear distinction between aiding the people of Myanmar and putting money into the hands of the military. So far as this port is concerned, it's putting money into the hands of the military, and that's the bottom line. Adani should not be doing it, and we should not be dealing with Adani when it does do things like that.
A couple of things to pick apart there, but let's just, on the Myanmar military to start with, just to be clear, it's not an entity like, say, the Australian Defence Force, for example, in terms of its operations, is it?
No, it's certainly not. It is an independent organisation under the Constitution of Myanmar, which was drafted by the military and imposed by the military. It is an independent entity. It is not under civilian control like the Australian Army is. It operates completely outside the framework of law and government, a law unto itself. And that includes not only ripping off the budget of Myanmar, something like 14% of the national budget goes to the military, but it also includes the military being a primary economic actor, which has independent sources of funding. That funding both supports its military operations and enriches the generals individually.
And, of course, the wider context here, and you were part of this, is the UN investigation in 2017 into the expulsions of the Rohingya, which that investigation found was a case of genocide. Are you saying here that Adani is doing deals with genocidal generals?
That's the case. There's no other way to put it. Adani is doing deals with the military, which has been responsible for crimes against humanity and war crimes, and for which the senior leadership, in our view, should be tried before an international court for the crime of genocide.
But, of course, there are no sanctions in place, as Adani points out in its statement, that prevent this particular deal from going ahead, are there?
There are certainly no sanctions through the UN Security Council. China has made sure of that, a long-standing protector of Myanmar. But many countries have imposed sanctions already, and our fact-finding mission, the UN investigation, of which I was one of three members, recommended complete economic disengagement from the Myanmar military and the generals who run it. So this is a recommendation from the highest level within the UN investigative system, and a recommendation which Adani has chosen to ignore.
Hard, though, for a company, just to play devil's advocate here, hard, though, for a company to figure out how to do deals when there is no specific measure in place. I mean, Adani says that it's guided by the Securities and Exchange Board of India. It's an Indian company, of course, other key international guidelines as well. It notes that past international sanctions on Myanmar were largely lifted because of democratic reforms. Australia's minimal sanctions don't preclude this deal. I mean, how is Adani to draw this line and still do business effectively?
Well, Adani is to draw the line on the basis of sheer business ethics, a business responsibility. We expect these days that businesses will comply with international standards for business and human rights, and those standards include due diligence in assessing the wisdom of activities and investments against human rights standards. It's hard to imagine any entity in the world with a worse human rights record than the military of Myanmar, and yet Adani is choosing to engage with them in this very, very big project. So I don't think that Adani can simply hide behind protections that might be available in Indian law. It has international obligations, and it's very clear from our recommendations how companies should act. Adani can't plead ignorance in this respect.
You mentioned also a sense of a connection with Adani in Australia, but Adani makes the point that they're two separate entities, the Australian operation that's looking after the Carmichael project and the deal that they've done for this port in Myanmar. Isn't it fair for a company to separate those sorts of activities, separate its activities in that way?
This is called hiding behind the corporate veil, and it doesn't wash. Adani is one group. These companies are subsidiaries of Adani. It's like saying that because my left hand is doing something else, my right hand knows nothing about it. It's an absolutely ridiculous assertion that defies the logic and the practice of corporate activities. Adani is one group. It is one company. And we will be enriching Adani, which in turn is enriching the Myanmar generals. I mean, that's the equation. That's the movement of the money in these cases.
Could you not extend that, for argument's sake, to a lot of other companies doing business in a lot of other parts of the world, in which case we could see a lot of the global economy collapse? I mean, Australian companies doing business in China, for example, could surely face human rights questions of a similar ilk, given the range of rights abuses in China.
There are certainly human rights questions in many areas of business activity, and the focus of international work on business and human rights in recent years has been to attempt to address those. But there is no more clear-cut case, in our region at least, in the Asia-Pacific region, no more clear-cut case of the most serious human rights violations than those concerning the Myanmar military. So this is really in a class of its own.
Human rights lawyer Chris Sidoti. And no Adani personnel were available to speak with PM, but we've been told that they have arranged a call between their key personnel in India and Singapore with Chris Sidoti to discuss this issue.